Mr. Mike Foreman.
That was over the top. That was too much. Well, if you haven't noticed, I am not Pastor Bill DeCana. My name is Pastor Mike. I'm an associate pastor here at the church. And 2 days ago, Pastor Bill let me know that he was very, very sick. He had like this nasal congestion and just feeling icky. You're in Florida. You've felt that before, right? It could be allergies. It could be someone spread something. Someone sneezed on him at Publix or something like that. Something, I don't know. However he got it, he didn't even want to. When he came into the church office, he didn't even give me a hug. He kept his distance because that's how much he loves me. he didn't want to infect me with anything if he was contagious. And guess what? He loves you all just as much, if not more, and that's why he's not here today, so that he can rest and not get anyone sick. But also, how many of you know, it's awesome when we can let Pastor Bill take a day off, right? Isn't that awesome that we can do that for him? Because he pours in so much of his heart and soul into this church family. It's just really awesome to see Pastor Bill entrust me, a 31-year-old young guy who's has very little experience, but he entrusts me with the service and with all of y'all this morning. I think that shows a very secure and awesome leader that Pastor Bill is. Amen? Amen. Amen. And actually, I want to do something a little special. I didn't tell anyone this. A little special. I didn't even tell Pastor Bill I was going to do this. I've done this once before, a while back, but I haven't done it since. I like to do this, though, if Pastor Bill's not here and I'm running the service. Okay? So, we video record every service, and we put it up online during the week. And Pastor Bill said he's going to watch it. He's going to watch it. And I'd love for all of you, in just a moment when I count to three, for all of you to really show your appreciation, just show how much you love and appreciate Pastor Bill by standing up, looking at that video camera, and just giving praise and thanks to God for your senior pastor. Would you do that? On one, two, three. As loud as you can. Come on. I love that. He's going to be like, Pastor Mike, you don't have to do that. I know we don't have to do that, but that was fun, wasn't it? Yeah. Amen. I love that. Hey, we appreciate Pastor Bill. We love you, Pastor Bill. Get well soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, and the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. So I had 2 days to prepare this message, oh, Lord. And I just kept praying and praying and praying. And you know what? God said, all right, that's the name of your message. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. I was like, oh, that's why I've been praying for God to give me a message. I was praying for like a whole day when he first told me, God, what do you want me to give? I wasn't getting anything. And I kept praying and praying, and he said, that's the name of your message. Keep on praying. And then all of a sudden, it just started flowing. And it's just so cool when the Holy Spirit does that and leads you. He'll do that for you in your life, too, if you keep on praying. So I got that phrase out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It's in your sermon notes. Now, every one of you should have gotten a sermon notes inside your worship guide, a little handout for you. And if you did not receive a worship guide, or you need some extra notes, raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to bring them by. And we've got a couple of people here just... they love handing them out to you, so raise your hand up high until you get one, and they'll get some sermon notes out to you. So in Ephesians, this is the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, talking to the church in Ephesus. And he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always, and would you say this with me? Keep on praying. Come on, say it again. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. Because he's humble and he knows, hey, we all need prayer, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And just so you know, from a pastor's heart, and Apostle Paul was a pastor, he was an apostle, but I just know I need your prayers as a pastor. Pastor Bill needs your prayers. All the pastors, the leaders in our church, if someone's leading you on a ministry team at the church, the dream team, they need your prayers. We all need prayers. Everyone needs prayers. Everyone needs encouragement. And listen, there is a, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in the heavenly places. There's a battle that goes on behind the scenes that you can't even see, but there are demonic forces that are attacking us, every one of us, every single day. And the more we take ownership of praying for each other, the more we find victory for one another. Amen. And this is the Apostle Paul's heart. The Holy Spirit gave it to him to write this. And let me tell you, from a pastor's perspective, I so covet your prayers. I appreciate your prayers. And I know Pastor Bill definitely does. Pastor Carl definitely does. Every leader at the church definitely covets your prayers. And I just want to thank you all for you've gotten that. If you've gotten that revelation already, awesome. Keep doing it. Keep on praying. You know, I used to think about prayer when I was younger in the faith. I used to think it was just simply talking to God, and that's how it was taught to me. Hey, prayer is just conversation with God. And you know what? That's part of it. You're right. That is part of prayer, is just having a dialogue with God, your Creator, who loves you. But there's so much more to it than that. I used to think also that it was simply asking God for what I needed or what I wanted. God, I could really use a new car right now. My car is kind of messing up. Father, I could really use a wife right now. I'm kind of lonely. You know, God, I could really use some money in my pocket. I need a job. Come on now. You know, those are awesome prayers to pray, because God says He'll provide all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's promised that in His word. Those are good prayers. But that's not it. That's not all of it. It's more than just your requests. Many people find prayer to be so hard, so hard. It can be hard if you view it the wrong way. If it's only about just a dialogue, if it's only about just asking God for what you want or need, then that's going to burn you out real quick. It's going to burn you out. Because when you start praying for things and it's not happening in the time frame that you want it to happen, you get discouraged, and then what happens? You stop praying. I've done that. Can anyone else relate to that? You stop praying about certain things because it hasn't happened. You're not seeing any results, and you're giving up. Why keep praying? Why keep praying when you don't see results? It reminds me of the story of a little boy who really wanted a sibling. Really wanted a sibling. So he goes to his dad, and he tells his dad, "I really want a sibling." And his dad said, "Well, all right, well, son, you need to pray. You need to ask God, and maybe He'll give you a sibling." I said, "Okay." So the boy prays for the first month, prays, nothing happens, there's no sibling. Prays for a second month, nothing happens, no sibling. A third month, he's praying, no sibling, so he gives up. 6 months later, his dad brings him to the hospital, pulls the curtain open, and there goes a little baby brother right there in the crib. And he goes, "Oh, hold on, there's more." Pulls the curtain further, there's a second, a little baby girl. He goes, "There's more." And he pulls the curtain back even further. There's a third, another baby boy. And his father says to him, "Now, son, aren't you glad you kept praying?" And his son says to his father, "Aren't you glad I stopped praying?" I love that joke. I love that. By the way, Lalaine and I have been praying. And we're pregnant. Praise God. But I only prayed 1 month, so only 1 month, right? Praise the Lord. We don't know the gender yet, but this little baby Foreman is due in March, and we're so excited and so blessed. I give God praise. Yeah, you can give God praise too. Every single child is a blessing from the Lord. Every child. I'm going to ask a few questions this morning just to get you thinking, get your mind moving and grooving this morning. One of them is, I would love for you to answer right away, but the others are rhetorical, so just, you know, keep it to yourself. But the first one you can answer: does God have all power?
Yes.
We can agree on that. I mean, with God, all things are possible. He created the heavens and the earth. He's the creator of everything. He has all power. We can get that. We understand that. Yes. These next questions are rhetorical, so don't answer out loud, but just ponder it in your heart. For Him to release that power, do we need to pray? Do we bother God enough to get Him to finally release that power? Is that what prayer is? Bothering God. I'll throw out a couple of scripture references to give you some context. Persistence is an important aspect of prayer, but is it about bothering God? Luke 11:5, it's not on your screen. I'm just going to paraphrase it. It's about a friend who goes to his neighbor and who's also a friend of his, in the middle of the night because he has guests, and he's like, I have no food. I'm going to ask my neighbor, my friend, for 3 loaves of bread. But his friend's in bed, and the kids are in bed, and the neighbor's pretty annoyed. And he's waking him up in the middle of the night, and he initially says no, but the Bible, Jesus is saying in Luke 11, he says, but because of his persistence and nagging him, that His friend's basically going to open the door, give him, all right, fine, take it, whatever you want. Here, here's some wine too, or here's some juice or whatever. Jesus talks about it again in Luke 18. There's an unjust judge. Maybe you know the story. An unjust judge and this widow is basically bothering him. He feels bothered by this widow. He's an unjust judge, though. He's being bothered by this widow, and he says because of the way this widow is bothering him incessantly, he's just going to give in to her demands because, hey, I don't want to be bothered. But is that God's heart? He doesn't want to be bothered? Is he easily bothered by us? When we pray, are we trying to talk God into it? Are we trying to, God, you really want me to have this, right? You're trying to talk God into it? Does God require a certain amount of prayer for certain situations? Like, do some prayers just need more effort than others? Do we earn answers to our prayers? If you notice a theme, there's a works mentality that's flowing through these line of questions. So let's dig into it. Hopefully I'll answer these questions for you this morning. First point I want to point out, and you can write this down, God has deposited his power in us. God has deposited his power in us. And when you understand this about prayer, you will become a person of prayer. It's not going to be something you have to strive for. It's not going to be something you have to work yourself up for. When you get this understanding that God has deposited power inside of you already, you become a person of prayer. It will help you to keep praying. Keep on praying. We find it in Luke chapter 24 in your notes. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, Jesus saying, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what?
Power
from heaven. That's right. Power from heaven. This is the start of the church, Acts 1:8. But you will receive what?
Power
when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power. If you're a believer today, you have the Holy Spirit residing inside of you, and you have access to power from heaven. That's amazing. Now, don't look at your sermon notes right now. Everyone look up, please. Don't look at your sermon notes, because for this next part, that was really cool. Everyone did it. All the heads went up. All from my vantage point, it looked really cool. But don't look at your notes, because I want to test you on something to see. A lot of people who've been in church for a while or maybe have studied the Bible, you probably know this next scripture out of Ephesians. Don't look at your notes yet. Put the first part up on the screen. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's describing our God and his power. Does anyone know how that verse ends? What the next part is? Show of hands. Be so bold. You do? How many of you don't? Be bold. Come on. Because a few days ago I didn't either. Come on. Don't feel bad. Most of you. Okay. Put it out there. Go ahead. According to the power that works in us. See, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Unlimited power. Not only that, a desire to pour out that power. But it's according to the power that works within us. He wants to answer those prayers. He wants to bring all those prayers to pass that are of him, that he's birthed, dreams that he's birthed inside of your heart, desires that come from God, those godly things that you're asking God for, the good things that you're asking God for. And he says, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen according to the power that works in you, in me, in us. This is big. This is huge. So huge, I actually looked up the Greek word for that word according in the Greek, just to go a little deeper. It's like, well, what does that mean, according to the power that works in us? It is according to the power that works in us. That Greek word is called kata. Kata. I don't expect you to remember it. Don't worry about it. But remember this principle. It denotes motion or diffusion or direction from high to low. Okay. I'll try to explain a little clearer. I'll elaborate. I went to school for chemical engineering and chemistry. I got a degree in Bachelor of Science in Chemistry, Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering. I even threw in an applied mathematics minor because, hey, I had the time, I guess. No, it was a waste of time. Anyway, but it's just too much work. At some point, it's like too much. It's like, okay. But you learn about diffusion in chemistry. And what is diffusion or mass diffusion? It's when you have a high concentration of, say, like a gas over here, and there's none of it over here. But what's going to happen? It's going to diffuse through the room, and eventually it will even out. And so if you light a scented candle in your bedroom, And it's in one corner, and you sit at the other corner. Eventually, it's going to waft over to you, and you're going to smell it. Okay, if a friend of yours is in the room, and they're in the other corner, and they let out a little bit of gas themselves, eventually, it'll waft over to you, and you're probably going to smell something that's not my scented candle. That's my friend who's being rather rude right now. Take that outside. All right? That's gas mass diffusion. That's what it is. That's okay. The principle here is in prayer, you can either be distributing power that smells good to God, or you can be distributing some junk, some complaining, some division, some curses to other people that God goes, I'm not too keen on that. That doesn't smell too good. Too much? Lane's going, ugh. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jordan. I'm encouraged. The reason why I gave that example is so you remember it, okay? I know it's crude if you really think about it too much. Don't think about it so much. But the principle is this. There is that according to the power that works in us, it means you have the authority and the responsibility to, in your prayer, the power resides inside of you. Your prayer is distributing that power. Your prayers are sending that. So how much power are you distributing to your marriage? How much power are you distributing to your finances? How much power are you distributing to those loved ones that you wish they were saved? You don't want to see them go to hell. You want to see them go to heaven. How much power are you sending to your job? It seems chaotic and there needs to be peace. How much power are you sending there? How much are you diffusing, taken from the high concentration within you, sending it out where it needs to be? Does that make sense? Come on. That is good. God is good. How much power are you sending out through prayer? And that leads me into my next point. We must release his power through prayer. You can write that down. We must release his power through prayer. God's unlimited power is only limited by our prayers. God's unlimited power is only limited by our prayers. I can say that confidently, because we know God has given us all good things and spiritual things in all kind of spiritual blessings from heaven, but why isn't it happening in our lives? Why aren't we seeing those healings? Why aren't we seeing our loved ones come to know Christ? Why aren't we seeing that situation change in our marriage, that situation change in our families? Why aren't we seeing the circumstances change? God's all powerful, right? Why isn't it happening? Because God loves to partner with us. He loves that. He's not selfish. He's a team player. He loves empowering his people. And when he gives power, this is a good leadership principle too, to empower people, not just delegate tasks, but delegate the authority and the power to get stuff done. God wants a bunch of leaders in the church, not a bunch of followers only. At some point, yeah, you just follow Jesus, but then you learn you're here to influence people, to lead people to Christ, to help people to know God, to help people to find freedom, help people to discover their purpose, help people to make a difference. We're all here to do that. God has given you that power, and it's our responsibility to release his power in prayer. I'll give you an example in Scripture, a really cool analogy that Jesus uses in John chapter 7, verse 37. So it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, so pause, right, time out. The feast is a feast of tabernacles. It's actually a feast where part of it, the feasting and revelry, and is like praising God for the harvest, but also praying for rain. And in fact, specifically, if you go back to even Moses' time in the Old Testament, go back in time to the Old Testament, when Moses struck a rock in the wilderness and water gushed out because the children of Israel were thirsty, okay, they called that living water. They coined that phrase, living water. This is water that God provided for us in the wilderness. And then the prophet Zechariah, later on, he prophesies that there will be a time when living water would flow out of Jerusalem. Okay? Living water flow out of Jerusalem. And then, like, the Feast of Tabernacles was always them just praying for 7 days for that living water. But what would always happen on the eighth day when they didn't see or experience the living water, they just pray for the natural rain. They basically give up praying. They wouldn't keep on praying. They wouldn't keep praying. They're like, okay, we'll settle. How many of us settle? We just stop praying. How many of us just settle for just the natural things in this world? Well, everyone else kind of goes through that. I guess I got to go through that. Well, half of the marriages end in divorce. I guess I have to, you know. And listen, and I don't say that lightly. If you've been through the pain of divorce, that's hard. And that's hard. So I'm not making that a light statement at all. You know, it's hard. And I'm not even blaming anyone here if you've experienced that. But I'm just saying, moving forward, can we start with a new chapter in our lives today and say, moving forward, no matter what's happened in my life in the past, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, but moving forward, I can keep on praying and believe for God's best. I can believe for that living water. Here's what Jesus says. He's speaking to them. You guys are praying for this living water, and you're about to give up praying. And he says this, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, here's the thing. He's saying you're going to receive power, because he goes on to say, whom those believing in him would receive. He's saying, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Now, what happens when the Spirit comes upon you? You shall receive what? Power. And you're saying, receive power. Okay? He's saying, listen, this living water is actually going to come by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet in heaven. He says, hey, I'm going to go to heaven, sit at the right hand of the Father, and then I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Acts 1 earlier. This power is going to come by the Holy Spirit. I got to ask you a question. If there's a river of living water that God wants to pour out of you, how wide is that river in your life? How wide is that river? Or is it a trickle? Is the water pressure a little low? By faith, I want to encourage you, view it as there is this pressure built up, and your hand, when you're praying, your hand is on the spigot. Come on. And when you pray, you open that valve, that water comes rushing out, and it goes and gives life to the situation that you're praying for. Come on. Some of us have more faith in the hot water eventually coming on than we do in prayer. Because how many of us turn the faucet on in the morning and just stick our hands in there and just kind of wait for the cold water to get warm? Come on. Any of you in houses where it takes a long time for that water to get warm, but you're there waiting for that shower, waiting for the water, waiting to do the dishes. You're waiting. You have plenty of, but you're waiting. I think sometimes when we go to God in prayer, we turn on that spigot and it's cold and we go, oh. And we walk away. I tell you, if you go to God in prayer and you leave that spigot open, leave it on, it's going to get hot. It's going to get fiery. There's going to be some power, some life-giving water that gets released. Come on, somebody. You can say amen to that. And why did Elijah pray for 7 days? There's a story in the Bible where Elijah prayed for 7 days for something to happen, but God already said it was going to happen. But it wasn't like he was not believing. He was praying for 7 days. Why did Daniel in the Bible pray for 21 days? He was grieved by the situation that he found his people in. Come on, are you guys grieved about the situation that we find our country in right now? Yeah. What happened in Charlottesville? Yeah. Come on. I'm grieved by it. The Holy Spirit's grieved by it. Daniel was grieved when he looked at the situation of his nation, and he prayed for 21 days. Why did he pray for 21 days? Why didn't he just pray after one day and just say, God, it's up to God? I'll show you in Scripture. This is a cool story. Daniel chapter 10. It's in your notes. When this vision came to me, so God's like speaking to him and stuff, and he's like, man, I'm disturbed by all this. I need understanding. I need wisdom from God. I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. 3 weeks he's in mourning. Why is he mourning? Because he's actually on a diet at the time, too. How many of you have been mourning while on a diet? Come on. What? Where does it? Yeah, it says. He says, all that time I had eaten no rich food, nothing that tastes good. No meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. He also didn't bathe, so everyone around him was mourning, too. Going further down, then there's an angel that came to him after a period of time, said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding, listen, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, the first day your request, your prayer has been heard in heaven. So when you pray, God hears it right away.
right away. I have come in answer to your prayer. But what happened? But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Meaning he's talking about a demonic force, a demon that had authority over this nation of Persia that was blocking the angel from coming to give him the answer. When I say we're in a spiritual war, I'm not just talking about it. It's a reality. When you look at our country and look at the world and the evil that's in it, the injustice that's in it, come on. You cannot say that there are no demonic forces influencing the hearts of man. You can't say, oh, where did these terrorists get that idea? Where did those people with human trafficking and abducting children, come on, teenagers, where do they get that idea from? It's from the devil. It's from his forces. And there are strongholds in place. There are strongholds in place right now in Gainesville. And you know what? Every Saturday morning, I come here to this church, to our Saturday morning prayer meeting at 10 a.m., and I pray against that spirit of darkness that's over our city and over our state and over our nation. I pray against it. Why? And I don't stop praying. Why? Because what happens? Then Michael, come on, one of the archangels came to help him. And he says, I left him there with the spirit prince of kingdom. I let Michael handle this. He's got that big sword. He's one of the top angels in heaven. I let him handle that guy. Small potatoes to that guy. And then he was able to pass through. But listen, Daniel was praying that whole time. What unleashed Michael to get there? His prayers. His prayers did that. If he had stopped at day 20, do you think this angel would have showed up? He kept praying. He didn't stop praying until he got the answer. The answer was sent on the first day. Listen, our prayers release power to bring the answer. If there's something you're asking God for, give me an answer, God. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying because your answer is going to be coming. It's already on its way. From the day you started praying, it's on its way. Why else do we pray? Jesus taught us to pray, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, because in our prayer, we're taking what's already happening and is a reality in heaven, and we're making it a reality here on earth. That's the power of prayer. Yes, this conversation with God. Yes, part of it is asking God for our needs to be met, but so much of it is, the reality of it is, it's us, by faith, taking what God has already provided by his grace in heaven and bringing it here on earth and making it a reality in our lives and in the lives of the people that we love. Can you tell I'm fired up about this? I love prayer. And I'm telling you, Pastor Bill loves prayer. He's taught me so many ways about the faithfulness and diligence of praying every day, every morning. I encourage all of you, set some time aside each day, 5 minutes minimum. Just start with 5 minutes. You can do that over a cup of coffee. 5 minutes and pray. Pray knowing this, that your prayers are being answered. The answer is on its way. Keep praying and keep asking God to send those angels to fight on your behalf to get that answer to you quick. That's good. Amen. So God has deposited his power in us. We must release his power through prayer. The third point is this. God adds his fire power to our prayers. God adds his fire to our prayers. This is probably my favorite. When I came upon this scripture, I was just like, have I not read the Bible? How did I miss this? How did I miss this? Revelation 5:8, it's in your notes. It'll be up on the screen. This is going to highlight something amazing to you about prayer. You want to know what happens in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm? Here's what happens. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. So they're at the altar near the throne of God. Each one had a harp. And they held gold bowls filled with incense. Now remember what I said about that sweet-smelling fragrance that you can send up to God. What is this gold bowl full of incense? Which are the prayers of God's people. Those are your prayers. Do you know where God places your prayers in heaven? He fills up these gold bowls with them. Why? Let's read on. Revelation 8. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. So God is even adding even more prayers into it, even more of this incense, even more. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar. Catch this imagery. Fire from the altar and threw it down to the earth. He's throwing a fireball from heaven. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. In other words, something happened. God can move heaven and earth to work on your behalf, to do a miracle in your marriage, a miracle in your family, a miracle at your job, a miracle in your life, to bring that husband that you've been praying for. Come on now, God can move. To heal that person who's sick with cancer, God can move. To save that lost one that doesn't know, God can move and wants to move. There's an angel assigned to each and every one of us in heaven with your own bowl, and he's just waiting for you to fill it up with your prayers, to get it ready so we can light the thing on fire and throw it back down to earth. Come on. Yeah, you can give God praise for that. I've said this before, and some people took it the wrong way, but I'll say it again. Why do drugs when you can do the Bible? I mean, that was so cool. And so many people are getting high trying to get this trip and trying to have this out-of-body experience. You just read the Bible, you go, whoa, that's where we're going, is heaven. Come on, y'all. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, you can give God praise for heaven as well. That's just awesome. Now, I'm going to close with this, and this whole message, really, I can't even take full credit for it. It's inspired by a book by Robert Morris called Why Keep Praying? You know, when nothing seems to happen, why keep praying? Robert Morris is a great pastor, and in fact, I looked up one of his messages when I was researching for this message, and at the end of his message, he gave a testimony about the power of prayer, and I actually took a clip of it, and it's about 5 minutes long, and that may seem long on a Sunday morning, but listen, like, this is awesome. This is a reason why you keep on praying. I'll just say it that way. He's praying. It's about prayer for your family. It's about prayer for lost ones to be saved. That's what it's about. So go ahead, Adam, run that video. Sit back.
There was a time in my grandfather's life when he worked for the Texas Department of Transportation. His job was to put asphalt in potholes. That was his job. And for a season, he worked with a man named Ray Alexander. And Ray Alexander was a Christian, and he shared Christ with my grandfather, who did not know anything about the Lord. And one night, one day, my grandfather said, I'd like to hear more about this. And so Ray said to him, well, why don't you come over to my house after dinner, and I'll share with you some more and show you some verses in the Bible. So my grandfather said, okay. So that night after dinner, he got ready to go, and my father had just turned 16 and just gotten his driver's license. So he said to my grandfather, when my grandfather started to go, he said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to talk to a man at work about some things. And my father said, can I drive you? He just wanted to drive. So my grandfather said, yes, but you have to stay outside while we talk. So he drove him over there, and my grandfather went in, and my father went and sat on the steps of the front porch. And back in those days, no air conditioning, so the door was open, but the screen door was closed. And for the first time ever, at 16 years of age, my father heard the gospel. Had never heard that Jesus was the Son of God and that died for his sins. Never heard it. And the man, Ray Alexander, said to my grandfather, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? And my grandfather said, no. I'd like to think about it for a while. And then Ray said, well, if you ever decide to give your life to Jesus, you need to pray a prayer like this. And he told him the sinner's prayer. And as he told my grandfather, my father, sitting on the steps, prayed the prayer and gave his life to the Lord. My father was the oldest of three brothers. One of the brothers committed suicide. The other brother died a few months after getting out of prison. My father was the only believer in his family. 16 years of age, went to college, the only one to go to college. Started a company. God blessed him, became a huge giver to the kingdom of God. Raised me in a Christian home. I accepted the Lord. I went into ministry. Many, many people have accepted the Lord now. Because a man that put asphalt in potholes shared with another man, and he thought, as far as he knew, he said no. A few years after I came to know the Lord, I got concerned about my grandfather. So I started praying. We had a family reunion coming up, and I started praying I'd get to talk to him about the Lord. And so at that family reunion, God orchestrated a time for us to be alone in a room, and I started sharing the Lord with my grandfather. And my grandfather told me, he said, a man told me this 40 years ago, and I've always regretted that I didn't give my life to the Lord. And I said, you can give your life to the Lord today. And I led my grandfather to the Lord. He was 78 years old. He lived until he was 82 years old, and we saw a change in his life. After he passed away, I thought to myself, I wonder if the guy, Ray Alexander, that witnessed to him is still alive. And I just felt like I needed to call him. So I called directory assistance. This is before we had the internet. That's how we used to have to get phone numbers. We had to call and ask people. And I got his number, and I called him, and he answered the phone. He was 81 years old. And I said to him, do you remember Joe Morris? And he said, yes, I still pray for him to this day. And I said, well, I'm his grandson. Did you know that my father accepted Christ that day on the steps? He said, I didn't know that. And he started to cry. I told him, I'm a minister, and many people have come to know the Lord now, but it's all because you shared the gospel. I said, you said you still prayed for my grandfather to this day. Well, why do you still pray for him? Listen to this. He said, in the back of my Bible, I have all of the names of the men that I've shared Christ with. And I pray for every man until he accepts Christ. And when he accepts Christ, I put a check beside his name. And your grandfather was the only name in the back of my Bible that didn't have a check beside it. And when I get off the phone, I'm going to put a check beside your grandfather's name. Prayer works.
Yeah. Wow. Wasn't that an awesome testimony? Talk about faithfulness. Talk about perseverance and persistence. But it's not just begging God. It's using the power that's inside of. I mean, that guy was relentless in sending out that power. Listen, there are a lot of. The one thing that the devil hates the most is people going to heaven, because he's going to hell, and he's like, he's just so selfish. He wants people with him. He wants people with him, so he fights. And he does everything he can to try to keep people from going to heaven. And Jesus, knowing this, God the Father knowing this, said, all right, I'm going to make it so simple for people to go to heaven. And it's just going to frustrate the devil. Jesus went and died on the cross for our sins. He provided everything that we need, everything on the cross, everything that we need for salvation in him alone. He said, it is finished. And you just simply have to receive it by faith. But listen, if you're praying for people to do that, the devil is going to do everything he can to try to hinder them from hearing that message. Because once they hear that message, it's compelling and it's powerful. It is powerful. But he's going to lie to people and keep them from coming to church, keep them from coming to your small group, keep them from coming to your Bible study, to your prayer meeting at your job. He's going to do everything he can to lie to them. Here's where your prayers come in. Your prayers are the antidote to every single one of his lies. Your prayers fight that battle in the heavenly realm to set them up to come to know Christ. It is awesome. And that's ultimately what it's all about, is as many of God's children being with him in heaven. I mean, that's why we do everything that we do around here. It's why I love God so much. Do you love God this morning? Amen. Are you grateful for him? Amen. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Wrapping up soon, but I just want to encourage everyone here. with your head bowed, your eyes closed, just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to start speaking to you. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? What names and people and circumstances has He placed on your heart right now? Start praying for Him. Start praying for Him. You can do it right now under your breath in your heart, but begin praying for Him. Use the power that's within you, that the Holy Spirit has placed inside of you. Use that power. Don't give up hope. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. God is way more powerful than that circumstance, than the stubbornness of that person's heart. God is way more powerful. His love is going to pierce through that darkness. Keep praying. Keep on praying. Just commit right now in your heart, God, I'm not going to stop praying. God, forgive me for giving up in the past, but that's the past. This is a new day. I'm not going to stop praying. I put my trust in you, God. Victory Church will be a church known for our prayer, our belief in prayer, our belief in the power of prayer, and God's faithfulness to answer those prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, let's go a little bit deeper now. If you're here today and you're listening to all this and you say in your heart, you know you haven't surrendered your life to Christ. You know, you feel it, you're far away from Him, but He's knocking on the door of your heart trying to get in because He loves you. Not to condemn you, but to accept you, to set you free, to give you eternal life. That's His plan for you. But if you've never received that free gift of salvation, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, that's why you're here today. That is why you're here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that applies to you, I want to pray with you in just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Mike, I've done that in the past, but you know, I'm not where I want to be with God. That's okay. God can make it right here, right now, and bring you back into a right standing with Him right now. His mercy is renewed day by day. Every day you can have access to His forgiveness. So if any of those two apply to you, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to raise your hand in a moment, but I want you to be bold and be decisive. On the count of three, raise your hand if that applies to you. One, make that decision. Two, three, go ahead and raise your hand right now. Thank you. I see you. Anyone else? I see you. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Awesome. All right, everyone, pray this prayer with them. Help them out. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. I receive it. And I surrender my life to you. I surrender control to you alone. I receive your love. I receive your acceptance. You are the Son of God. I believe in you. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Would you give God praise for what He did just now? Come on.